I thank you for your love. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Spirit of God. I thank you for people of God that we can fellowship with. And Father God, I ask that you would be lifted up this morning, Father, as we look for some principles from God's Word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Last Wednesday, my wife and I left for a recruitment trip that included a recruitment trip to recruit from some staff and also a camp conference and also actually visiting another camp. We left Wednesday afternoon and we went and we stopped at a small church for their Wednesday evening service down in the Cumberland, Maryland area. And you know, sometimes it's kind of scary when you walk into the church because you're not sure what you're going to find and it might be way different, but it was just a blessing. It was a church, a like-minded church. It was just a blessing. Thursday morning, we went and visited a camp, another camp in West Virginia, Wildwood Camp. We visited there, visited with the directors. They invited us into our home. We had some fellowship together. So it was just a very delightful time. Friday, we actually recruited at ABC. And Friday, of course, anybody know what Friday was? The 14th of February. Valentine's Day, that's right. It was Valentine's Day. My wife and I went to Golden Corral and, you know, just probably even ate just a little bit more than what we needed to, but we were just having a very enjoyable time. But then we got a call from Sean. He said, "Pray with us. Something is wrong with Shalissa." We've known for a long time something's wrong with Shalissa, but this went beyond the normal things. "Pray with us for Shalissa." All of a sudden, a little bit the wind is taken out of your sails as over the next couple hours we learn about type 1 diabetes. And so, you know, God is still good. On Tuesday evening, we got a text from my brother-in-law that he took Dad, Grandpa. Some of you know him as Grandpa. Grandpa went to the hospital and he was in ICU. And again, it was, oh, wow. Wednesday was a long day for us. Had some car difficulties, and anyhow, got home late Wednesday evening. Went to bed very exhausted. Got up in the morning. I went to get my Bible and my cell phone. I had 7 missed calls from my daughter, Melissa, from our daughter, Melissa, along with a long text message, which I was thankful for, that I knew a little bit why she had called, to find out that Sean had been in the emergency room overnight, or during the night he had been in the emergency room. I took my Bible and sat down to have my devotions, and it was like I couldn't breathe. I just felt, wow, all this stuff that was happening. And I just sat there for a little bit, kind of perhaps maybe a little bit in a daze as I reflected upon all this. And this is what, not as I was thinking about that, I thought about some things that I had prepared and was planning to prepare and put some meat to the bones for our staff this summer as they are counseling young people that are facing adversities, facing challenges. So because of that, I turn to Psalm chapter 23. Turn with me, if you will. But on Thursday morning, I read Psalm 23 different than I have read it before. Isn't it exciting? I kid. Man, the Lord just put that in the Bible. I've never seen that before. Now, I've seen this before. Obviously, Psalm 23, you know, we haven't memorized. But I started reading Psalm 23 on Thursday morning. And I read, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now, one of the challenges, I have lots of challenges. One of them is I don't sleep very well. And so when I wake up during the night, I have different things. Over different periods of time, I have different things that I do to keep my mind focused on what it needs to be. For some time, I was focusing on Psalm 23. That's not what I'm currently doing. I'm off to something else now. But for some time, for a period of time, I was focusing on Psalm 23. And I would picture myself as a sheep. I would just picture myself as a sheep and thinking about Christ as my shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd. And I would think, man, all these other people, they have shepherds. But man, I got the Lord as my shepherd. And, you know, it's thrilling to me. Giveth me to lie down in green pastures. And I picture this perfect green pasture. I mean, just nice green lawn that the sheep had just mowed off almost like a lawn. And man, being a farm kid, that's just something, laying in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I mean, I even have this picture in my mind. The stream comes down like this, and then right here there's a big pool. It just kind of gets real calm, and there's this big pool that comes out like this, and then the stream goes on down there. I mean, I picture this stuff at nighttime when I couldn't sleep. He maketh me to lie, leadeth me beside the still waters, and go in there and get some still waters. He restoreth my soul, refresheth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Does this sound good? And I got to the next word, and I never really thought about that before. Yay! And in that one word, everything turns around. Everything turns around in that one word of yay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is talking about intense darkness. Have you ever experienced intense darkness? Perhaps it's spiritual darkness. Perhaps it's physical darkness. Perhaps it's emotional darkness. But it all turns around like that. I mean, we were having a great time. My wife and I, this was almost like, even though it was camp work, it was almost like a little mini vacation. We were just having a great time. And then, yay, as quickly as that. We still had a good time, but some things changed. There was some darkness that came along. And we'll look at this a little bit later, but yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, this is all in the way of introduction. So I started looking that morning. I started looking at yays. And now, not all the yays in the Bible are turning from yay of something good to yay of something not so good, but some of them are. So I went back and looked at the first yay in the Bible. And I found, now, did Adam and Eve have it made? Ladies, think about this. Eve had a perfect husband. How would you like to have a perfect husband? Don't smile. But Eve had a perfect husband. The weeds didn't grow in the garden. I mean, they had it. Everything was good. And all of a sudden, Satan came and says, yay, hath God said. Have you ever experienced the yay of spiritual battles? A spiritual battle began right there, whether she was going to believe God or whether she was going to believe the serpent. I've experienced some of those physical battles, the spiritual battles. I've experienced when these involuntary thoughts bombard my mind and I want to get rid of them. God, I hate that thought. I hate that thought. I don't want it. I want to have thoughts that are pleasing to you. And I've gone through spiritual battles of thoughts bombarding my mind and thinking, God, I don't want it. I want thoughts that are pleasing to you. And I think, how am I going to get rid of these thoughts? And we're going to give you some help for that this morning. A lot of these passages we are not going to turn to just in the interest of time. When we get down here a little bit further, I'm going to encourage you to write some of these down because I think they could be helpful for those yay moments in your life, when all of a sudden things turn in a direction that you're not expecting. And Job, chapter 24. Job was a wealthy man. Job had lots of things going for him. I'm going to have to look that one up. I don't know it. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. So Satan is saying, let me at him. Let me at his body. Let me give him some physical things, and he's going to curse you. He said, yea, let me at him. Sometimes they're physical things. Psalm 41, verse 9, it says, it's the yea of betrayal. And we're not going to take the time to look it up. What happens when your friends turn against you? It's talking about yay when your friends turn against you. But this morning, this is all in the way of introduction. I would like to look at three areas that we can gain victory when those difficult times come. In fact, when I first realized that Sean and Melissa were getting up multiple times during the night to check Shalissa's blood sugar, I thought, boy, I ought to just offer to preach for him to give him a little bit of a break. And I thought, oh yeah, I preached at a church a couple weeks ago, and I thought, I prepared a message for that. I can just do that. But that morning, I thought, boy, if I have the opportunity to preach, I want to share this. I think there's three areas that help us to have victory when those battles come, whether they be physical, whether they be spiritual, whether they be emotional. And those three areas that I'd like to look at this morning are replacement, meditation, and prayer. I'm going to give you a little phrase this morning, and you might say, well, it's a little corny, it's a little unique, because it is. It's a phrase that I came up to help me remember some principles that I wanted to think about when I was lying awake at night and the battle was raging. The phrase that I have is wonderful contemplations for pleasing God under pressure. Wonderful contemplations for pleasing God under pressure. I memorized that little phrase so that I can review it during difficult times. Wonderful for me reminds me that the first thing is W. And W stands for God is with me. God is with me. Now, we found out that we had some free audio books available to us. So on the long drive back from South Carolina, we downloaded Pilgrim's Progress. And you know, during that, man, it's been maybe grade school since the last time I heard or read that book. There was Christian and Faithful were traveling together. And Christian and Faithful were able to encourage each other because they weren't traveling alone. Somebody was with them. Now, Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, we say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Is that a comfort when you're going through struggles? Well, is that a comfort when you're going through physical struggles, when you're going through spiritual struggles, when you're going through emotional struggles? For me, I quote that, for thou art with me. So I encourage you to write some of these down, so that you can review them when you're going through that. Psalm chapter 23, for thou art with me. We'll just go through these quickly. Joshua 1:5, there shall be no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I will be with thee. But you say, oh, well, that was spoken to Joshua. Here's another one. And David said unto Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. But he said, okay, that's Old Testament. You know, that was given to specific people. How about Matthew 28, verse 20? And we're not going to take the time to look this up, but if you have a red letter Bible, red letter edition, you will see that this is written by Christ, words of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do you get excited that Jesus is with you always? Is that a comfort?
But sometimes we forget about that. Our mind goes hither and yonder and we forget. Jesus is with me always. Right here, inside of me. He's with me. One more. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For I've said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So wonderful contemplations for pleasing God under pressure. The W is, God is with me. Tell you what, that can be a real comfort for me when I am struggling through an issue. But then there's contemplations, wonderful contemplations. The C is to remind me of cares. God cares for me. You know, if I'm, I don't know if it gets has to do with, I don't know, I'm not getting old yet, but like if I stub my toe, somehow I can't walk in the middle of the hallway, and somehow I, like she has this little thing sitting there the other day, a little scales that used to be her dad's. Man, I hit my toe in that. Ooh, man, you think it hurts like crazy. Now, she wasn't here, but something like that happened. And your wife says, oh, honey, I'm sorry. I know that must really hurt. I mean, it doesn't really make your toe feel better, but it makes your mind feel better. But do you know that when you're going through stuff, God cares? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And we hear preaching on that. It says, casting all your cares upon him. And that's the part we hear about. We say, just cast your cares upon God. Just cast your cares upon God. I tell you, in my sinful state, I can't do it. I want to cast my cares upon God. Oh, God, I'm trying to cast you. But you know, I get to the second part of the verse. It says, for he careth for you. That's a comfort to me. I'm going through this, and God cares about what I'm going through. Shalissa, does God care about what you're going through? He does. He does. God cares. And that's a great comfort to me. Psalm 103:13-14. We're not going to take the time to look it up. Like as a father pitieth his children. Can you relate with a father pitying his children, Sean? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you realize when we're going through the struggles, the Lord's feeling, looking down and saying, oh man, I pity them going through this, but this is what is needed. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That frame is often, that Hebrew word is often translated imagination. Now, I was thinking about that after our winter retreat, just here, end of January, beginning of February. There was a young girl that was at the winter retreat that has a fear. Her imagination just runs wild that she is going to be kidnapped. I mean, this is not just a minor fear. This is a real fear. She has professional counseling to help her overcome this. Sometimes I wish I could help her from God's word. But she has professional counseling to help her overcome this. She is afraid. And now she has some challenges. She had some things that she faced in life. But she fears. She goes to bed with fear that she's going to be kidnapped. And I started to think about what are some things that I have feared, and so I was trying to understand and try to understand this principle that I was actually going through. And the thought that came to my mind was, some of you know that my parents for many years had a cabin in the mountains. And it was a nice cabin, but on two different occasions, two different people found a snake crawling in the cabin. Now, I hate snakes. Now, I had never seen a snake in the cabin, but you know, I would go to bed at night and I'd leave my hand hang out over the bed, and I think, I can't do that. There might be a snake out there. Honestly, I would pull my hand in like this. I wouldn't want my hand to be out there. There could be a snake out there. I mean, when I was getting ready to go in bed, you know, you don't want your feet close to the edge of the bed. You kind of jump in bed because you don't want to. So I started thinking about that. I thought, man, that's a fear that could have overwhelmed me. Do you know about 3 or 4 hours later, I woke up in a panic. I dreamt I was driving the tractor. It seemed like the camp tractor, only it was different. The tires were a little bit different, but it seemed like the camp tractor. And I saw a snake, and I ran over it with the back tire. And the tire whipped that snake up, and it caught a hold of my arm. I'm not kidding. And I woke up packed. I mean, the snake was my arm. The following night, I lay down, and you know what I thought about? I thought, man, I can't think about a snake tonight. I don't want to have a dream like that again. This happened just since the winter retreat, the beginning of February. I can't do that. But you see how so quickly, and you know what I did? The replacement principle. I started looking over some of these things. Wonderful company. God is with me. God cares for me. And I went down through them. And I said, these are the principles that I have to replace those thoughts which could dominate my mind, and I need to replace them with these godly thoughts about who God is. But God knows our frame. God knows that we have imaginations like that. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How precious are thy thoughts? Do you know that God is thinking precious thoughts toward you? Right after Sean and Melissa were married, they lived in Wyoming. They invited us out, and they showed us some things in Wyoming that we would have never seen if it wouldn't be for a native boy living there. They took us out, and we walked back through the mountains, back through this trail. I cannot picture that as vividly as something. We came to this Green River Lakes. It was a lake out in the middle of the mountains. At one end of the lake, if you can probably correct me, but there was an area not much wider than this that it was like a sandy beach out in the middle of there. And we stopped there and rested. And Pastor Sean, he wasn't Pastor Sean at the, I guess you were a youth pastor out there, picked up a handful of sand and said, do you realize that God's precious thoughts toward us are greater than the sand? Well, another one of those verses I had read, but I never, man, I came home, man, I added that to my scripture memory verse. If I would turn to that, it says Green River Lakes beside that passage. Now think about that. God has precious thoughts toward you. God loves you. Is that comforting? Yeah, it is. God cares for you. We're going to move on. God cares. Wonderful contemplations for pleasing God. The W is God is with me. The C is God cares for me. The P is God's peace for me. Do you want peace in your life? John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you that in me that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You hear what he says? He said there's going to be some of those yay moments. You are going to have tribulations in the world. They're going to come. You're going to be bombarded with physical, with emotional, with spiritual, with financial battles. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. John 14:27, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. God's peace is way different than what the world gives. Where does the world get their peace? They get 1 John 2:16, love not the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, what makes our body feel good, the lust of the eyes, things, that's where the world gets its peace. Just give me more things and the pride of life. Man, look at me. I accomplished something. People are looking up to me. That's where the world. But he said in John 14:27, I give you peace, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you know that God's peace is available for us? We got to turn with me to Philippians 4. This is just so good. You already know this, probably even have it memorized. Let's look at verse 7 and verse 9. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The end of verse 9. And the God of peace shall be with you. And then verse 4 through 8 tells you how to have that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You mean even when things are going, when you're having difficulties? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know that God wants to give us peace? He wants to give us peace, and it's available for us. So we're looking at two principles this morning. We're looking at the principle of replacing those thoughts with Scripture. Over and over again, we have promises of how meditating upon Scripture. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God promises us good success. God promises us spiritual victory as we meditate upon God's word. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. God promises victory as we meditate upon God's word. God also promises us victory as we use the replacement principle. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about putting off and putting on. It gives some very practical areas in Ephesians chapter 4 of things that we should put off. We should put off those thoughts, and we should add these new thoughts into our life. For example, it said, let him that stole steal no more. But it doesn't stop there. We don't say, just stop having these bad thoughts. Is that let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that he may have give to those that need. Something like that. But you see the difference. He steals because he's selfish. He doesn't just stop stealing. That doesn't solve the problem. He starts to labor so that he can give. So you see the difference. He went from stealing because he's selfish to laboring so he can help somebody else. That's the idea here. When we put this scripture in our mind, we're not just getting rid of that thought. We're not just trying to say, I'm not going to think about snakes anymore. I'm not going to think about snakes anymore. I'm not going to think about snakes anymore. No, I replace that with some good Bible verses and teaching from God's word. So, we have lots to cover yet. Wonderful contemplations for pleasing God under pressure. The W is God is with me. The C is God. The P is God's. G is for God's grace for me. God's grace for me. I sometimes use the 1828 dictionary when I'm studying words because it goes back much closer. Do you realize for the word grace, we think we talked about that in the Sunday school class this morning, for the noun grace, there was 20 different definitions. But this is the one that I really liked. Favorable influence of God, divine influence or the influence of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. You know that God wants to help you gain victory over the struggles that you have. Do you remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9? And I apologize, we really should be looking up some of these verses. Just in the interest of time, we're not going to look them up. He said, Paul was asking to have these difficulties removed. And what was the answer? My grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is sufficient. For thy strength is made perfect in weakness. And then verse 10. Oh, we got to look at it. Where's that at? 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. And this gives you some of the examples of what God's grace is sufficient for. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities. Infirmities is sickness or disease or physical limitations or weakness. You know, it took me a long time. I didn't rebel against it, but it took me a long time till I thanked the Lord that on April 15th, 1999, the Lord brought cancer into my life. It took me a long time to thank the Lord that the doctor said, you probably have at least 10 years to live. Even though it was difficult. But you know what? That was a good thing. That was a good gift in my life. The Lord was using it in my life. But, okay. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. You know what a reproach is? It's a wrong springing from somebody's pride or arrogance. So if somebody comes, a reproach is when somebody is proud, they're arrogant, they're miserable, they're mean, and they come and say some things against you. I confess, I haven't quite arrived where Paul is, but by God's grace, I want to get there. He said, I take pleasure in reproaches. What's next? In necessities, in basic necessities. Some things that you say. Now, for me, sometimes I think, but Lord, a basic necessity is just that I can get some sleep tonight. But he takes pleasure when he doesn't even have those basic things. In necessities, in persecutions, unjust punishment for penalties, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. If God's grace was sufficient for those things, do you think God's grace is sufficient for that yay moment that might hit you tonight or tomorrow or the next day? And the darkness will come. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Get that. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. In other words, if we do not have victory when we're going through that, it's because we're failing of the grace of God. It's not because God's grace isn't there. We are failing to take advantage of God's grace. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And that verse goes on telling a whole lot of other things that can happen if we fail of the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help. I hear that preached about, we want this thing, or we want that thing, or we want this thing. You know what that verse is talking about? Helping us to be spiritually victorious. And we come, God, I need you. Help me. You promised to help me. I need you. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. I am not gaining victory over this trial. I'm not gaining victory over this darkness. And I need you to help me. Wonderful contemplations for pleasing God under pressure. W is God is with me. That was weak. C is God. P is God's. G is God's. U is God understands me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Did Jesus feel pain? Oh, he did. More than we can imagine. Did Jesus feel temptation? You know, sometimes our temptation just comes from our own sinful flesh. Jesus had the Prince of Temptation after he went through 40 days of fasting. Jesus had the Prince of Temptation there to tempt him, yet without sin. Did Jesus feel mockery? Did he have some reproaches? Think about this. He's up there on the cross, and they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down and save thyself. Could have he done it? Man, if I'd have been Jesus, I'm afraid I'd have jumped down off that cross, and I'd have come down and slapped him across the face a couple times and jumped back up again. Did he have reproaches? Yeah, he knows what we're going through. You say, yeah, but this is... This is different. It's not different. He's experienced your struggles. And he can give us victory. We were going to turn to Isaiah 53, 3-7, and look at some of that. He is despised and rejected of men. We're not going to take the time to do that, but that's another passage that you can memorize. Memorize Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in all points as we are. Memorize Isaiah 53, 3-7. And one of the beauties of, you're saying, well, this is a whole lot of verses to memorize. One of the beauties I have find, if I just have a verse or two that I'm working on to try to gain victory over something, my mind reverts back. I'm just telling you my simple mind. My mind reverts back to this issue. If I have a whole series that I'm going through, it helps me, man, I have to think about this, and then I want to think about this concept, then I want to think about this concept, and then I want to think about this concept. It's that replacement principle that just shoves that other stuff out as I go through. So, God understands me. And then finally, wonderful contemplations for pleasing God under pressure. God's purpose for me. God's purpose for me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that God has a purpose for you? Do you believe that sometimes that God is allowing this to come into your life to perfect you? To polish you? You probably heard the story of the diamond and the gem cutter that is cautiously chipping away what needs to be chipped away at the diamond and sanding that spot and polishing that spot. But what happens if the diamond says, I am tired of this. This hurts and I don't like it. Then it starts rebelling up against it just when he is about ready to take the next swipe and he takes a big hunk out of the diamond. That diamond can never be what God had planned for it to be. When those adversities come, don't make the mistake of resisting God. Don't make the mistake of ruining what God wanted to do in your life. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, God has a purpose. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. We looked at the two principles. We looked at meditation, which God promises victory, and the replacement principle, which Ephesians 4 is just a real practical way of replacing these wicked thoughts that keep bombarding us when we're going through those trials. The final one that I was going to talk about, and we are not going to talk about it, I'm just going to mention it briefly, is prayer. We talked about Hebrews 4:16, and let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Is God looking for us to come to him? When your son comes to you and says, Dad, I have a need, can you help me? No, just go do it yourself. No, a dad delights. And that's what he's saying. God, come, ask me, help me, and I'll give you victory over that. You know, the parable of importunity. We're not going to take the time to look at it this morning, but you remember the parable of importunity? You go home and look at that. At the end, it says, lead us not, but deliver us from evil. And then he gives a parable of importunity where this guy comes begging and begging and begging. And then at the end, he says, how much more shall God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's not even in the same category as asking for fish and stones. How much more? But when he's talking about praying and asking, he's not praying, oh, Lord, give me a new car. Lord, help me to be able to pay this bill. And there's nothing wrong with praying that, asking the Lord to help you pay a bill. When I go fast, I get tongue-tied. My wife always says, honey, you tried to get too fast this morning and you really messed up. I don't know if she'll say that this morning or not. But you know, I trust the Lord will use it. But you know what this parable of importunity is talking about? When we have spiritual needs. We come and say, oh, God, help me. You know, I have a struggle. I have something I'm working on. God, help me. I need victory with this. I blew it again. Oh, God, help me. I need victory with this. And God says, how much more shall we give the Holy Spirit? Now, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit as saved, it's talking about the Spirit, of being filled with the Spirit, of having the Holy Spirit's control in our life. What's your darkness? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're not experiencing one now, you will be. Trials will come. How are you going to handle them? You don't need to use wonderful contemplations for pleasing God under pressure. That's what I use. But you need a plan of how am I going to apply God's word in my life to give me spiritual victory, to help me to move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father God, I thank you for the word of God. Father, I thank you that it has all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Father, I ask that you would use this in each of our hearts this morning for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.